today. Please stand in body or in spirit. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Jesus teaches, the Sabbath was made for humankind and not the humankind for the Sabbath.
So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.
It is good for us to be here and to Sabbath together. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination of our sins. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, throughout time you freed the oppressed, healed the sick, and make whole all that you have made. Look with compassion on the world wounded by sin, and by your power restore us to wholeness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
First reading this morning is from Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slaves, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 81 responsively with me. Sing aloud to the Lord our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob.
Praise the song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp.
Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our festal day.
For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance to the God of Jacob.
He made it a decree in Joseph when he went out over the land of Egypt. I hear a voice I had not known.
I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket.
In distress you called, and I rescued you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah.
Hear, O my people, why I am not you, O Israel, if you live with us to me.
There shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god.
I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill you.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Mark, the second and third chapters.
Glory to you, O Christ.
One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as they made their way, the disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And Jesus said to them, Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was not made for humankind." I'm going to start that one over because it's important. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched at Jesus to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to them, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. All right, we got one. It even says First Lutheran Church on it. What do you know? I don't know if you ever noticed this about me. He didn't even move. But sometimes I can be very loud. Anybody ever notice this about me? My voice projects. It's almost as if someone took an amplifier and tied it directly into my vocal cords. It's like I was handpicked by God to, I don't know, perhaps preach to old people? Ooh, I got some sneers. I got some sneers. I expected them because I got them in the other church too. But also perhaps preach to a bunch of little kids or some teenagers who are bored or, oh, be quiet. Or she looks kind of bored right now. Maybe if I yell, I can wake someone up. But I just can't not be loud. It was bred into me. It's who I am. It comes from my mom's side of the family for sure. You would agree? Andrea is like, yeah, for sure. And my mom got it, honestly. She got it from her dad, my grandfather. And on Sundays, we would go to my grandma and grandpa Sayers' house for lunch. And there was a room, a kitchen, and that's where we ate. There really was no formal dining room. And we would eat in that kitchen, and there was like a six-person table, and we would cram 10 people or 12 people around that table. We would sit shoulder to shoulder at that table. You remember, Andrea, right? And we didn't talk to one another around that table. We didn't have polite Sunday conversation. We yelled! It was loud. Yelling voices were our inside voices. Yes, my loud voice, it is a gift for preaching, and I can wake any of you up from the soundest of sleeps. And I have no problem walking right up to you and yelling to do that. But I must say, I having a mom who is good at yelling is not a gift. It is not a gift to have a mom who's good at yelling, because my mom was good at yelling at me. So I would try really hard, and I still do, to not make her angry, but, you know, I'm me. And I'm occasionally kind of dumb. And I occasionally do dumb stuff that gets me yelled at. So I would do dumb stuff, and she would get angry. And I could predict those yelling storms as they would come up. And I would batten down the hatches. The storm would come. She would yell. And, you know, we would move on with life. But occasionally I would do things that were really, really dumb. And she would get really, really angry. And I prepared for that storm, right? Rather than putting like one sheet of plywood on the window, I would put two sheets of plywood on the window, right? But the storm would never come. The storm wouldn't come. No yelling, no screaming, not even a lecture in a raised voice. Had I forecast wrong? Had the storm dissipated at the last minute? Had I escaped my mother's wrath? Looking around at all my moms in here, had I escaped her wrath? No, of course not. It would be a quiet voice with simple words. Sean, I'm disappointed in you. Oh, that's the worst, right? It takes the heart, it sinks it straight down into your stomach. And I would feel about this small. This small. She was angry, yes, but rather than boiling over, her anger would give way into sadness and grief and disappointment, but something more than disappointment even. And this, I think, is how we encounter Jesus today. He is angry. He is deeply grieved. He is disappointed. He is utterly despondent at the hard hearts of those who are packed into that synagogue. So let's imagine ourselves in that synagogue, if we will. It is the Sabbath, and Jesus enters there with his disciples. And in this synagogue with us are some Pharisees. It's a sect of Jews that rigidly interprets and we can presumably say follows Mosaic law, the law of Moses, or the law given by God to Moses. And all the laws given to Moses, there are 10. There are 10 of these laws that we may know a little more than the rest. The 10 commandments. Right, we know those. And then there's this commandment. We count it as commandment number 3. The Jews count them a little differently, and then other Christian denominations might count them even differently than us, but we count it as commandment number 3. It's very clear, isn't it? Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But there's a problem there here for us today in the synagogue. Jesus doesn't agree that these laws are as clear and as rigid as the Pharisees, these strict interpreters of the law, think they are. As we might even think they are. Jesus, you see, as Jesus entered there, he had recently been out in a grain field with his disciples, and they were plucking grain. They ate it, and these rigid interpreters, these Pharisees, saw it, and they took this to be reaping, doing work on the Sabbath, clearly disobeying that commandment number 3. And this Jesus, this supposed teacher of the law, he just allowed it to happen. He even compares himself to King David. Don't you remember when King David went out and he was given food by Abiathar? The audacity of Jesus to compare himself to David. And he's not done offending and inciting these Pharisees. He offers an alternative interpretation of this command. Sabbath is made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. Sabbath, as in rest, is a gift from God to humankind, says Jesus. And if you don't like this interpretation of the law, says Jesus, too bad, because I am the Son of Man. What does he mean by that? I am the Son of Man. He means that God has given me earthly authority that clearly references Daniel. The prophet Daniel, and those Pharisees certainly would have known that Jesus was saying that he had been given authority by God over this earthly realm. And that means that Jesus' interpretation of the law goes. And that makes Jesus the Lord of the Sabbath. Tough break, Pharisees. I bet they really liked that, didn't they? So it is against this backdrop that we stand in this temple today. And wouldn't you know it, when we walk in and when Jesus walks in and his disciples walk in, there's a man there with a withered hand. A withered hand. And Jesus' gaze, wouldn't you know it, immediately falls on this man. And the room quiets, and we too are quiet, and we look back and forth between Jesus and this man. What's going to happen? Something's going to happen. This is going to be exciting, right? So Jesus knows this. He says, come forward. He tells this man, you all are looking. You might as well do this all the way up front. Come forward, Jesus said. So he comes forward, and everyone just continues to stare silently. And Jesus says to seemingly no one, but definitely to the interpreters of the law that interpret it very strictly, these Pharisees, he says, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? And Jesus, he just waits. He waits in the silence. Just allows everyone to soak that in and think about it. And while he's waiting, he hopes. He hopes against hope that someone, anyone, will break that silence and shout out, it would be sinful to not heal this man. And we too stand there staring, not knowing what to say. Some of us hope Jesus that Jesus will heal the man, but we're too afraid to speak up. Others don't know how to answer, you know, they don't certainly want to answer that question wrong, do they? Is it lawful? We don't know. And still others, the rigid interpreters of the law, they stare in hope. But they have a different hope than Jesus. Their hope is that Jesus will heal this man. But they don't hope that he will heal this man for the good of this man. They hope that Jesus will heal this man so they can condemn Jesus, so that they can continue to accumulate evidence against Jesus, so that this renegade teacher of the law, teacher, can be put to death. So as Jesus scans this room, he stands up here with this man. He looks out at all the faces, and he begins to be dismayed. He begins to be sad. He begins to get angry because he knows, he just knows, that this silence will not be broken. And his anger gives way to grief. Jesus is grieved at their hardness of heart and says to the man, "Stretch out your hand." Jesus is angry and grieving. He is beyond disappointed. These laws have been given to Moses and to the Israelites by a good and gracious God as a gift, as a way of ordering society, for ensuring that God's will be done, that mercy and justice might prevail on this earth. And instead, someone and anyone crying out, "Have mercy on this man, Jesus," we, those in the synagogue with us, respond with cold "We have condemned this man." Which man have we condemned? One of the two. Either the man with the withered hand or the man who had to make the decision. Do I heal this man? Of course he was going to. So Jesus acts. His action sends a clear message to the silent. The time for healing is now. The time for restoration is now. There is no delay. I do not care about your stupid interpretation of this law when your brother is suffering. You would have me withhold healing and restoration when I, Jesus Christ, am healing. When I, Jesus, am restoration, when I am justice, when I am mercy, when I am new life. And you would have me withhold that from this man because it's the Sabbath? And in this moment, Jesus diagnoses, perhaps for the first time, a much more serious illness. These laws on their own, Jesus realizes, cannot be fulfilled by these people who are gathered in the synagogue, nor by us. Not when we stand silently obstinate. Not when we refuse mercy and healing and restoration in the name of a law. Jesus is angry and he's deeply grieved. He is disappointed and he is despondent because he has come to fully realize what must happen. The only way for this man to be healed, and the only way for everyone else in the synagogue and all of us here today to be healed, is in and through him. Only Jesus can fulfill that law, and that realization hits him in that moment. "Stretch out your hand," he says. "I am here to restore you." He is not just saying that to this man. He is saying that to all of us. And what happens? The Pharisees went out immediately and conspired with the Herodians against Jesus, how to destroy him. It had begun. In the second and third chapter of Mark, it had already begun. The first of four such statements in Mark's gospel of Jesus going to be destroyed for the good news that he was here to proclaim. The full weight of what he must do to restore humanity back to God is clear to him. And Jesus is angry. He is deeply grieved. He is disappointed. He is despondent at those in the synagogue. And us. Where do we find ourselves in this synagogue? I mean, we're all complicit in one way or another. I mean, I know we weren't really in the synagogue, but we stand in that synagogue every single day. And every single day we stand, usually silently, by. We sin in what is called a sin of things undone, something we confess to every Sunday. Who Who are you in the synagogue? Maybe you're the one who hopes that another person will speak up. Ooh, yeah, might be me. I mean, look at all the people. Someone is sure to say something, right? Or maybe there's just so much going on that, wow, we have hit our capacity to care about all the injustice. And maybe apathy ties our tongues. Or maybe fear. Surely someone will say something, but I don't want to say it. What if I'm condemned along with this man who does the healing? And in our minds, we scream, "Heal this man," but we dare not let that scream escape our lips. We wouldn't want to cause any waves in the name of justice and mercy or healing or restoration, would we? Maybe we just don't know how to answer the question. I mean, on the one hand, it is the Sabbath. It's the law. It says it right there. It's number 3. On the other hand, should this man have to wait to be restored? We don't know how to answer. I mean, and taking a stand is hard, right? We wouldn't want to decide the wrong way, would we? We wouldn't want people to think that we were imperfect, right? Or are we the rigid interpreters of the law here? Do we use our Bibles as shields, right? Do we use these things? Do we use these Bibles as shields to stand in the way of healing and restoration, using the words inside of this to say, no healing and restoration for you, because the Bible tells me so. Or worse yet, do we use this Bible to thump people with? We talk about Bible thumpers, right? We usually think about someone thumping their Bible on their own hand. I think of a Bible thumper as someone who uses their Bible to thump someone else over the head with it. Right? Bible thumping. Do we use our Bible as a weapon? Make no mistake, there are times when we, all of us, none of us excluded, when we stand silently by, when we allow injustice to prevail. When we say healing can wait, when we say restoration can wait, or my interpretation of this law, this passage of Scripture, says that you do not deserve mercy and justice and healing and restoration, we are complicit in that. But it's not that easy, is it? That painful silence, it goes both ways. Justice and mercy and healing and restoration is sometimes withheld from us too, isn't it? Sometimes we get thumped with that Bible in the head. Wow, that was harder than I thought it would. And it hurts. It hurts. Especially church hurt. Church hurt hurts. And I'll bet every one of us in here has been hurt in church. It makes us angry and it makes us deeply grieved and disappointed. It makes us despondent. It makes us want to withdraw. And it is inevitable. It will happen. Just as sure as we are going to harm another, we too will be harmed. But I'm happy to say that all is not lost, because there was one person in that synagogue that was bold enough to stand there, to not remain silent, who said, now is the time for healing, now is the time for restoration, now is the time for new life. Stretch out your hand to me. And I don't think I need to tell us who that person was. And it is, and this right here is the paradox of our Christian faith. I refer to it as, I think of it like this. It's not my words, it's some Latin dude way long time ago. Simul justus et peccator. It's the tattoo I have on my wrist. I'll come to that in a second. simul justus et peccator. Simul, simultaneously, justus, justified, et, and, peccator, sinner. She knows I have tattooed on my wrist that I am a sinner. I am simultaneously justified through Jesus Christ, and I am a sinner. Sinner and saint at the same time. I am at the same time the one who is withholding justice and mercy, and I am the one who is being who has justice and mercy withheld from him. One and at the same time. We are silent. We stand in the way of healing and restoration. And at the very same time, we are injured, we are broken, and our hands are withered, and we are in need of healing and restoration. And there is this voice that always seems to break through the silence. And it is not the voice of my mom that says, "Sean, I am really disappointed in you for getting a tattoo on your wrist that literally says, simul justus et peccator." No, that's not her voice. She refuses to talk about my tattoo. And she is very disappointed. This is not the voice, though. We know that. It is a soft voice. It's not a yelling voice. It doesn't need to be a yelling voice. It's better when it's a soft voice. It's the voice of one who sees our brokenness, who has felt this very same brokenness because he had those who conspired against him. He himself was broken, and he was utterly destroyed on a cross. The voice we hear is that of Jesus saying, "I am mercy and justice. I am restoration. I am new life. Do not delay. Stretch out your hand to me and receive all that I have to give to you. Receive all that I am, and in me find restoration for your soul." Thanks be to the one who has the strength, who has the courage to reach out his hand. Thanks be to the one who says, "Stretch out your hand." Thanks be to the one who breaks the silence. Sometimes we are that one, but all the time it is Jesus. For that I say, thanks be to God. Amen. Got a headache now.
Thank you.
I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in
God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Oh, wait, that's me. Sometimes I zone out. It's been a long weekend. Student assembly. It's not awesome. Anyway, are there any additional things we would like to raise in our prayers of intercession? Any additional
prayers this morning? Yes, ma'am. Your brother, Rod. Kathy's brother, Rod. So Melissa is okay, but they lost a loved one.
Okay.
Gotcha. So we will raise Melissa Jackson and her family in prayer. Melissa is okay, but it's her brother-in-law who died in an accident. Melanie? Which Melanie? Do we know her?
Our Melanie. Thanksgiving.
All right. And for Spring Safety Day and all who supported that ministry. Any other prayers this morning? Okay. We come before the triune God to pray for our communities, for ourselves, and for our world.
Guide your church to expressions of faith that brings rest and release. We are a people and a society that glorifies busyness, and yet God the Creator and Jesus the Son ordained rest, not for the sake of rest, but for the sake of humankind. Quiet and restrain our racing and weary minds, and teach your faithful people to be attentive to the spiritual, physical, and societal needs and the weariness of those around us. Friends and family, neighbors, fellow parishioners, faith leaders, and ourselves. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Where there is affliction in the world, bring healing. Just as Jesus did not delay in healing the man with the withered hand, do not delay in restoring peace to the nations. Where world leaders are perplexed, provide clarity. We know that you care for the man's withered hands, and you most certainly desire lasting peace that preserves human lives. Move us to move those in power to protect the most vulnerable, especially civilians in war-torn and food-insecure places, in Gaza and Ukraine and Haiti. End this destructive cycle of violence. Merciful God.
Keep us mindful of the rhythms of nature as the days lengthen and the seasons shift toward summer. Grant relief to areas facing flooding and drought, and bring favorable weather for the flourishing of crops, the gardens, and orchards. Restrain our creation that has made its power known by this spring, and especially over the past few weeks in the South and Midwest as storms and tornadoes have raged and brought death and destruction. Comfort those who have lost loved ones. Provide relief to those who have lost homes, businesses, and livelihoods. And guide the work of organizations such as Lutheran Disaster Response that are on the ground responding to these disasters. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. Provide wholeness and respite to all who are weary, those who struggle in any way, and those who care for them, especially for the family and friends of Daryl Gates, for Noel, Jean, Mary Beth, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Tony, David, Ed, Pastor Tim, Peggy, Bobby, Nancy, Caleb, Jim, Karen, Bill, Linda, Wilma. We lift Rod, we lift Melissa and her family. We lift the Danner family. We lift those in silence or aloud. Strengthen care providers, paid and unpaid, seen and unseen, first responders and healthcare workers, and all others whose care commitments offer little respite in their times of exhaustion and frustration. Merciful God,
stir our hearts toward abundant generosity among neighbors who experience hunger and food insecurity. Bless feeding ministries of First Lutheran, the CCSG, and all others in Guyon and Crawford County, and all community gardens, farmers markets, the food pantries across northwestern Ohio, this country, and the world. Open both our hearts and our tables for those who are hungry in body, mind, and spirit. Merciful God,
receive our prayer. This day we raise to you in thanksgiving for Spring Safety Day and the work that it has done in our community. We thank you for all of those who spent countless hours in this pursuit, especially the organizer, Melanie. Please provide her respite now and time to recover. We lift all in this congregation who donated countless hours to this, and we lift those in this community who dedicated their time and efforts to it as well. Please be with all organizations that were a part of this, that they may now reach a broader group of people in this community, and that your will may be done through this event. Receive our prayers, O God, and come quickly to our aid through the power of the Spirit and the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. Gifts and our offerings. Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, we ask that you remember us in your kingdom and that you teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this table with the bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is healing. Jesus is restoration. Jesus is this bread. Jesus is this wine. So come to this table. Eat and drink. Be healed. Be restored with all who are always welcome here.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Don't worry, you guys can keep sitting. So first of all, I know it was mentioned, and we said a prayer of thanksgiving, but thank you all for supporting Spring Safety Day. It's a tremendous event. It's the second time we've done it as a church, and it's a big undertaking for a church this size. So thank you for all of your time and support that you put into that. And I just want to share one thing. The Red Cross, who was one of the exhibitors, said this. They said that they signed 8 families up for smoke detector installations. And the exhibitor said that 8 families in the community of Galleon are now safer after today. So that is huge. So that is truly being the hands and feet of God out in the community. And I think that's what we're called to do. June 12th meal, sign up sheet on the table, and now stand in body or in spirit, and we shall be blessed. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord's face shine upon us with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon us with favor and give us peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Stretch out your hands to Jesus. Feel Jesus' love. Be restored and proclaim this good news.
Thanks.